Would you please stand with me for the reading of the gospel? The gospel today comes from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." Praise to you, Lord Christ, for your word. So I have to remember how to do this in one take, so we'll see how that goes. And on your part, you won't be able to pause or fast forward or anything, so... Stephen Wright, the comedian, said, "You can't have everything. Where would you put it?" There's truth in that. This past month, I've been up and down wishing for a one-man pontoon boat for fishing on Oregon lakes. I've seen people use them in places like Gold Lake, where I camped last year, and I was envious. So more than a month ago, I found a great price at a local store and ordered one. It was supposed to be here in 3 days. It didn't come. The order just sat in limbo. After 3 weeks, I gave up on it. This past Tuesday, more than a month later, I suddenly got a message saying the boat had shipped and would be here next week, this coming week. And then another message came the next day, Wednesday of this past week, saying, "It's here." So I went to pick it up. I put the seats down in the back of the SUV and hefted a huge box into the back of our vehicle. And I drove home while it slowly dawned on me I had a problem. Even disassembled, I had nowhere to store this thing. Transporting it on a camping trip would leave little room for my other gear. I left it in the back of the SUV, slept on it, and then sadly drove it back to the store the next day. There are many practical reasons why you can't have everything you wish for. But here's Jesus today in verse 7 saying, "Ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." A prosperity gospel preacher would take that verse, run with it, and tell you you can have everything you wish for. I'm guessing you know better. That promise needs to be in context, you might be thinking. Jesus didn't just offer to give us whatever we ask. He put conditions on it. Verse 7 actually says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." You have to abide in Jesus, whatever that means. Then you get what you wish for. Farther down in the chapter, verse 16, there's another condition for getting what you wish. Jesus said, "The Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." In Matthew 21, 22, he said, "Whatever you ask for in prayer with faith, you will receive." In 1 John 3:22, you can read, We receive from him whatever we ask because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. That whatever we wish or ask always seems to have strings attached. So, still, contrary to Stephen Wright, you can have everything. Jesus and the Bible say so. You just have to work on how you ask. Meet the conditions, and it's all yours. Maybe you should worry about where you'll put it all just as soon as you get your prayer technique right and meet the conditions. Whatever you wish is there to be had, or is it? A prosperity preacher might actually tell you to abide in Jesus or ask in faith or obey God's commands so you can get whatever you wish. But if any of that were simple or easy, Christians everywhere would be safe, prosperous, and happy. Palestinian Christians would be freed from the apartheid-like conditions in Israel. Nigerian Christians would be secure from attack by Muslim militants. Central American Christians could easily find asylum in the United States. But none of that is happening. Are you and I going to tell those brothers and sisters in Christ that they don't love Jesus or don't have enough faith or aren't obeying God's commands? I hope not. I don't have answers for the problems I just named for other Christians in the world. But thinking about sad stories like that may help us discover something about our own wishes and whether we're abiding in Jesus. Or maybe a story like this will help. Three men were cast away on a desert island. After months of waiting for rescue, a bottle floated up on the beach. As they all gathered round, one of them picked it up and rubbed off the sand. Lo and behold, as he rubbed, a genie appeared. The genie was extremely grateful to be released from the bottle and announced that, as usual, he had three wishes to grant. Because there were three of them, they could each have one wish. The man holding the bottle immediately spoke up. "I'm sick of this island. I miss my family and my friends. I want to go home." Poof, he was gone. Home to his wife and children. One of the other men said, "I feel exactly the same way. It's been too long. Please send me home." Poof, he's also gone. Home once again. The third man was left alone with the genie. He was, you might say, the slowest of the three. He looked around the now empty island, then said, "You know, it sure is lonely here without my two friends. I wish they were back." A moment ago, I asked you to pay attention to all of verse 7. Not just the part that says you can ask for whatever you wish and get it. That's called taking a bit of scripture in context. But now look at the larger context, that image that Jesus used to talk about abiding in him. He said in verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches." Before and after that, Jesus keeps saying how important it is that branches bear fruit. If we are branches on a vine, then we're part of something bigger than ourselves. If we're branches on a vine, then our concern is not just with our own welfare, but with the health and fruitfulness of the whole vine. If abiding in Jesus is like being a branch of a vine, then the wishes we ask him to fulfill need to be about more than our individual wants and desires. That's why what immediately follows our text in chapter 15 is all about love. It's why when Jesus said again there that the Father would give us whatever we ask in his name, he immediately follows it in verse 17 by saying, I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. God is not a magical genie who grants whatever thoughtless, selfish wishes we might ask of him. Our Lord might have sent the first two men on the island home, but he never would have brought them back to fulfill the wish of their companion. That man thought only of himself. Abiding in Jesus and getting what you wish for begins with genuine love that makes what you wish not about yourself, but about others, just like Jesus' own wishes. Again, I have no answers, brilliant answers at all to world problems, but I'm pretty sure that we find ourselves unable to solve many of those problems because we've believed a lie. That lie is that things will magically get better and everyone will prosper if we each buy and sell or vote in ways that benefit us personally in our own self-interest. But to abide in Jesus is to believe the opposite of that. We will prosper together and receive what we wish when our hearts and minds are focused in love on what is good for others, good for the common good. Our wishes need to change. Changes in what we wish are the fruit of a true relationship with Jesus Christ. God's favorable answers to your prayers arise out of seeking the kind of relationship with Jesus that makes what you wish different. Instead of focusing on your wishes, you focus on Him and His wishes. So ask yourself, what kind of relationship with Jesus would change what I wish for? Jesus tells us here that it starts by recognizing that we're merely branches. Richard Foster wrote, "Nothing is more important to a life of prayer than learning how to become a branch." If the most important thing about Jesus is his love for others, then that ought to be, as branches, what's most important to us. Branches need to grow, of course. We start small. All of us start with our own wishes. That's what babies do. But we need to grow beyond that. While I was in seminary, we took a car trip with another student and his wife. I'm going to call them George and Gina. They sat in the back as I drove up front with Beth. We asked them that basic question, "How did you meet?" And George began to explain how he had a wish list of qualities he wanted in the woman he would marry. He ticked them off for us, sitting there next to his wife. Things like being a Christian, a good listener, intelligence, a modicum of physical attractiveness, yes, he said that, a certain taste in music. And then he said, "When I met Gina, she was 90% of my list. I knew I had found the one." I drove along wondering what Gina was thinking as she listened to George. I had to watch the road or I would have turned around to see the expression on her face. I don't know what she thought or how she felt about it. What I do know is that at some point, their marriage had to get beyond each other's wishes and grow into a relationship, into love. George needed to put down his wish list and think about what Gina wished. He would discover that his marriage to Gina fulfilled all sorts of wishes he didn't even know he had. Once he really got to know her, some of his wishes would change to match her wishes. That's what Jesus wants for you and me, for our relationship with him and with each other, to grow so deep and strong that what we wish changes to what he wishes. Just as he says here in the rest of chapter 15, He wants our love for him to grow into a love for everyone else he loves. That's Jesus' wish for our wishes. You can have whatever you wish if you abide in Jesus. But the more you abide in Jesus, the more you will find that what you really wish has less and less to do with what you wish, and more with what others need and wish. We're not there yet, of course. We all wish sometimes for things like boats we have no place to store and perfect spouses to whom we'd never measure up. But if we hang in there on the vine, keep learning from and wishing to be like Jesus, our wishes will look more and more like love. One of the ways Jesus gives us to abide in him, to remain on the vine, is like nourishment branches need from their source. Jesus did not seek what he wished, and he said, "Not my will, but thine," to his Father. And so we come here to his table today. He laid down his life and his wishes. He let his body be broken and his blood shed for you and for me. It's the love in that body and blood which grows the vine. We branch from that vine of love. Let it be that same vine from which our wishes and our prayers grow. Amen.